Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
You're under the Golden Dome with Frank Stamps and Wes Pritchard today. The other three guys are a no-show, and their asses are getting fined. All right? It's like before the SC game in 1988 when Notre Dame was number one and SC was number two, and Holt sends home Waters and Brooks, and we become the underdog in that game. And Light, Rice, and Terrell—they're being sent home on a plane. but you got
on a bus.
This is all you need to know. You got a couple of linebackers breaking the game down today. The big Gator Bowl game, and you know it's funny, Wes, is I'm researching this game, and you know the last time Notre Dame played South Carolina, 1984, when we were freshmen.
No, it was the year before we got there, I think, wasn't it? Or did we were there
freshmen in 1984.
I was at home in South Bend.
What? We played them at home, dude. I remember the game.
I don't remember that game. That's crazy. You're
brain damaged.
Yeah, I am brain damaged. Dane Bramage.
I remember, man. One thing I remember in that game is, you know, we were at home, we played them, and I was playing a little fullback then, and we were going in. We probably were on the 15-yard line, and Stevie Berline's our quarterback. And Mal Moore was our running backs coach. And, you know, Mal ended up, you know, being the athletic director, and you had a great relationship.
What do you mean? He recruited me. Yeah, he was the reason I went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. And, you know, Mal was backup. He's an Alabama grad, backup to Joe Namath during his career at Alabama.
He was a career Alabama guy, Alabama, and played for the Bear and coached with the Bear.
Right. And, he used to give the craziest stories and pep talks beforehand.
He's also the athletic director that hired Nick Saban.
Right. You know, unfortunately, Mal, you know, died way too young. But I bumped into again when I was playing with the Rams. He ended up coaching under who was that guy that the coach that coached in the NFL, coached the Cardinals for a little bit. He was an Alabama guy. He coached at Alabama too. Big guy, dark haired guy. I forget his name, but he hired Malon with the Arizona Cardinals. I ran into him again later. But anyways, we're playing South Carolina. I'm a fullback. And, you know, we throw the ball. And Mal always said, hey, listen, stay on your feet. Just stay between the rusher and the quarterback. And the easy way out was to cut the guy. And I remember cutting his defensive end. I got a little bit of him, made him go down a little bit. But he popped right back up. And I think he ended up sacking Steve Berline or pressure him, so the ball was incomplete. Boy, I tell you, that really pissed Mal off. But anyways, that was the last time we played South Carolina. We, even though we have a winning record against them, I think it's 3-1. We lost that game in 84, and it was a high scoring game, if I remember correctly.
I don't even remember the game. I mean, I was redshirted that year, so I wasn't really.
You were drunk in the stands watching.
That's probably very possible.
All right. So, you know, what was a bowl? You know, our bowl prep. You know, the guys are waking up this morning. Typically, the pregame meal is 4 hours before the game. You know, they're playing at 3:30. You know, I remember our bowl prep pretty much was just, you know, everything was done.
The day of the game, you've got the mental aspect of it down. You've got, you know, you sort of know what you have to do. It's just, for me, it was always more just mental preparation, getting myself in the frame of mind that I would work myself into for the game, where, you know, it's just like a focused intensity where, or controlled madness, if you want to call it. I was working more on just being, you know, in a sort of my football trance, if you will. You know, and maybe I would read over the defensive plan one more time before I went out there. It's go time by then. I mean, the hardest preparation is not letting Christmas be a distraction, you know, seeing your family, staying in shape, staying on point, preparing once you get to the site, you know, not dealing with the distractions of being at the site, you know, not going out, having family there. You know how it is. It's very distracting once you get to the bowl site, because you're out of your routine, you're out of your normal place, and you've got, you know, your loved ones there, girlfriends or whoever. You know, you just got to stay focused and get prepared for the game. So,
yeah, no, you bring up a great point about the distractions of bowl week, because it's not typically a week of preparation that you would have during the season. You know, coaches have it's a balance, you know, of reward versus, you know, preparing to play. I mean, you know, you want the players to enjoy the experience, and you know, things are a little bit relaxed, and that's what we're talking about. You know, this will really tell, you know, it kind of, I think, you know, define a head coach even further. I know our experience under Holtz. I mean, it was, you know, I thought he did a nice job of balancing, letting the players enjoy themselves, giving them the freedom most of the week up until 48 hours before the game. And his big thing was always the most important night of rest was 2 nights before the game.
Yeah,
because that's right. the night before the game, you know, there's always going to be that anxiousness of you tossing and turning and not getting really a lot of sleep. So your rest has really got to come the night before. And I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. 100%. I agree with that. And you're right. He did do that. I think Lou's greatest gift was his ability to emotion, you know, obviously he was more of an X and O person than people realize. I think, you know, he understood the game, studied the game, but for me, not being an offensive player, because he focused more on the offense, it was how he broke us down emotionally. Like, you know, no matter who we were playing, he always would tell us what we did wrong on Sunday after the game, what a great opponent we had, how we had to prepare, and how much work we had to do. And then, you know, you weren't very good. And then by Tuesday, you were getting better. Wednesday, you were pretty good. Thursday, you know, you were much better. And Friday, you were the best team in the country. You know,
right.
I can remember preparing for Rice. And this is before social media and the internet and all that. And he had me convinced that this was one of the most explosive offenses in the country. And I think I played 2 quarters.
I was ready to play. I remember that Rice game. I don't think Rice had won a game in like 3 years.
Yeah, but he did. I had no idea. So I remember being like ready for that game, like we were playing Michigan. And we beat the crap out of them in the first half and sat out the rest of the game.
No, yeah, no, you're absolutely. It was kind of like that military attitude. And, you know, and I think, you know, he wasn't alone in his building a team, if you will. And if you just take a look at it week by week, it was, like you said, you know, not so much tear the guys down, but let them know the challenge and, you know, what our shortcomings were, that we need to work on that. And then by the end of the week, you know, he was, you know, you guys are prepared. That was his, always his big thing. I remember he's saying, okay, you guys are officially prepared.
Yeah.
And that gave you, as a player, a lot of confidence. So, you know, I am prepared, but he always did that thing. Remember that it was like 20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, you lay on the ground. Your body sits into the carpet.
Right.
Picture yourself in a calm setting. Picture Jesus at your hand. Picture yourself in the stadium tomorrow. Picture Michigan in the blue and maize. Picture yourself making great plays. Picture yourself playing mistake-free football. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Right.
When you wake up, this 20 minutes is worth 4 hours of sleep. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you know, praise God or whatever. Thank God for the opportunity that you have or whatever it was that he said. And I remember when he did it the first few times, we all thought he was insane. And
I remember whatever. People were giggling, they're laughing.
And then by the fourth week, you're looking forward to it.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Then by the sixth week, I woke up and said whatever he said I was going to say. And I thought, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like right. this guy is hypnotizing me.
Exactly.
And he was.
No, exactly was. You'd get in such, there was a couple of times I'd be in such a relaxed state. I would actually freaking fall asleep. And, you know, not a deep REM, but it was that kind of relaxation.
Yeah, but the whole point is he was doing nothing but putting positive thoughts in your mind.
Right.
And if you remember, the greatest thing, and I say this to my children all the time, and I don't know that it's sunk into them yet, the mind controls the body. What the mind believes, the body achieves. And if you think about Lou Holtz is the epitome of that phrase. You look at that guy and then you look at what he's accomplished. He only accomplished it because he believed it.
Right. Right. No, you're exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, and then I remember Urban Meyer loves telling this story. He wasn't on the staff when we were there, but he loves.
Yeah, but I know her. I got to know him pretty well, too. We went. I think we did a couple of charity events with him.
Right. We did. He still talks about that every case when I see him. He always asks how you're doing. He would tell that story. You know, we'd get bed check and bed check came. Usually like the two nights prior before the game and certainly the night prior. And I remember, I think Stu checked on us. You were over in the room and we said, come on, let's mess with Stu. So you hopped in bed with me and we were cuddling. We were spooning and Stu just lost his mind when he came in and he saw that. And Urban Meyer just freaking loves that story. And that was really a lot of, you know, that the key to a lot of our success, and this is important, not just for, you know, it was important for, but for this team preparing, I hope they've, you know, are in a really kind of a, you know, not a, you know, in a relaxed state because you can't win the game the night before.
Well, don't you remember what Lou used to say? He goes, look, you have to be relaxed. If you ball your fist up and clench it as hard as you can, you're not going to throw a punch nearly as well as if you're relaxed when you throw it.
Do you remember him saying that?
Yeah, right. No, yeah, you can't. You when you make it things so uptight and nervous, you're expending all kinds of energy that you're better off using on the field the next day.
Right. And so, I think that's why he got us to buy in in the process. You're going to be the most prepared. You got the best coaches. You're ready for this game. Now it's just a matter of you going out there and executing. And I think, but towards the end of the, you know, like for sure our senior year, I believed that. And I was relaxed going into the games.
Right.
Or confident, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. So looking at Marcus Freeman, you know, his approach. Now he's got something to prove. He certainly doesn't want to have on his resume losing the first two bowl games of his career. So
I would have lost last year, by the way.
Right. And I would imagine, you know, this game has a lot of, you know, importance to him and how he's prepared for it. Probably. So there probably has been, you know, more of a serious approach. Tone. Business yeah. approach. Right.
Well,
thank
I
you.
So I mean, look, you know, I was this year at the Holtz's Heroes thing, you know, the Cal weekend. And it's always great to hear Lou's perspective. And they were asking him about Marcus Freeman, and he went through all the different reasons that he likes Marcus, and I do too. I mean, he stands for the right things. He said, but, you know, the thing about it is he just doesn't have the experience. And he's like, you know, he's going to create his own identity, and it's all a process of him doing that. And this is exactly what you just said. He's got to create his legacy and his process and the way that he does things. And these are the types of situations where you create that.
Yeah. So, you know, we can only, you know, guess as to his approach, but I hope he had a nice balance of preparation this week, where, you know, of fun and hard work. And I'm sure his challenge, like we were talking about, is going to be the quarterback situation. And let's break it down looking at it like that. You know, he's got a quarterback that hasn't, you know, played since week two when they lost to Marshall. He's not thrown a touchdown pass. He's only thrown two interceptions. You know, it's tough. You know, I think I worry about the big thing I worry about for it's Buckner, right?
Yeah.
I worry about him is the pace of the game and how fast, you know, he can play the game. And you know this, you know, for quarterbacks, it's more important for quarterbacks than any other position is that they slow the game down and they see it like they're playing against a bunch of fifth graders so that they know what to do prior to what the defense is doing.
Yeah.
And his ability to do that is going to be something that I'm going to watch. I mean, certainly, you know, the passing game to me is going to be short, throw it on time.
I think the biggest problem, you know, I think I actually thought Drew Pine really progressed as the season went on. You know, I don't think he wasn't really a dual threat guy though. I think Tyler Buckner's a little bit more of a dual threat guy, but to me, Notre Dame is so predictable in their passing game. And I think defenses creep up. We've got to create a situation where we're throwing over the top and spreading those guys out a little bit. I mean, if I'm playing Notre Dame right now, I'm putting eight guys in the box or seven guys in the box and making you beat me deep and daring you.
Yeah, no, right. Well, I think you're exactly right. That's I think what he's going to do is Freeman is he's got to run the ball. He's got a 1500. I think it's his last name is Corum. He's got, you know, he's 1500 yards, almost 1500 yards on the season. And, you know, their strength, you know, and I think he wants to set this going forward, but their strength in this game is going to be running the ball, and that'll shorten the game. That'll keep South Carolina's offense off the field, who, as you mentioned, has been very explosive the last couple of games against some really quality teams, Tennessee and Clemson. And he's got to control this game with the run. And if he can do that, you know, I don't see really how Notre Dame can lose.
I think if we really truly out physical them, then we're going to be in good shape. And like you said, the running aspect of the game, it drives me insane to have these big offensive linemen zone blocking and one back in the backfield. Why we don't get another guy and run downhill a fullback like Frank Stams? and run a two back offense and blow these guys out with a big offensive line. But you know, we'll see how it goes. I hope you're right. I hope we can, rush the ball, shorten the game, and keep them off the field. I mean, I think if Spencer Rattler has time to throw, he's going to eat us alive.
Well, that's the thing, right? And looking at what we have to do defensively is that if they do give him time, then it's going to be a long day, and they will score 30, 40 points. And Notre Dame can't have that. They just can't. Notre Dame's not going to be capable of, in my opinion, playing from behind today. They're not going to be capable of scoring 40 points, not with the quarterback that they have. I mean, he's a solid quality quarterback, but the key to get the Rattler is going to be pressure, and they've got to force him. Now, he's thrown his fair share of interceptions. He's thrown 11. He completed
getting to the pressure. I mean, look, Foskey is a first round guy. The guy had a great season. How is that going to affect our pressure now that he's hurt? Or not? I mean, not hurt. I'm sorry. Entering the draft, not playing today.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably accounted for 50% of our sacks.
Yeah. Well, here's what I see Notre Dame doing defensively. I think, if I was the defense coordinator, I'd play what they call big nickel. I'd put in a big linebacker. I'd put in four defensive linemen and you want to be solid against the run, and you want to pressure on passing situations. But then also you want to match up. You want to have, five or six, dime or nickel situation where, to me, I think they're going to really come out and try to sling it. And you just can't let that happen. You got to get to him, like I said, cause pressure, sack him a few times. He doesn't run the ball very well. He's only got 19 yards rushing the ball this season. So that tells me, the quarterback run is not a threat. So that really allows the defense to zero in on, maybe taking a few gambles as far as your rush line.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Well, I think you can try to confuse him because I know, Al Golden is an NFL guy, and I know when I talked to him, he said the greatest thing about, coaching at Notre Dame is how smart the kids are. So, I mean, I think you can also – I would like to see us at least show a lot of fronts, show blitz, man, back out into something different, or whatever. Look like you're playing back and blitz. Confuse him with your fronts and your coverages. And get some picks, like you said, and rattle the guy. I mean, we got to rattle Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, very good. ND Nation, you're listening to Under the Golden Dome podcast with Frank Stams and Wes Brissett, your host today, talking everything ND football past and present, breaking down the game this afternoon against South Carolina, 3:30 Eastern start. Teams haven't met, very few meetings in the history of this matchup. Last time they met was 1984. South Carolina was on top, I think maybe 30, 36, 1982. Ironically, Wes and I were on the team in 1984. I remember it vividly. Wes was three sheets to the wind in the stands, or wherever you were. You might have been on the sidelines with a few in you.
No, I was. I was there. I just hey, let me tell you something. I got interviewed. I don't know, probably 10 years ago. The guy was talking about the Notre Dame Miami game. Of course, I remember 88, had 14 tackles, broke my hand in the first quarter. Frank, you had a great game in that game. And he was asking me about, you know, when we played them down there, I think it was 85, when they beat us 52-7, blocked a punt with a minute and a half left and threw a touchdown. I don't know if you remember that, but, you know, that's why one of the reasons I hated Miami so bad. Well, anyway, he starts asking me about the 1987 game. And I said, well, I didn't play in 1987. He said, yeah, you had 11 tackles. So, look, Frank, it's not just that game I forgot. I forgot the games I played in, some of them. So, you know, hey, what can I say?
Yeah. So, you know, we mentioned we're breaking the game down, telling stories. You know, these guys getting ready for the game today, they got to stay loose because you're a much better player when you stay loose, have fun. And I remember Joe Moore always saying the guys that play this game the best are the ones that play it with a smile on their face. And really, you know, I think that's the attitude. When, you know, when we start winning at Notre Dame, I remember, you know, my section mates telling me that, you know, this year we noticed something different. You guys are having fun out there. You guys are smiling, flying around. And really, you know, that's what it takes. I mean, from a defensive perspective, I always thought, you know, we did play that last year with a lot of reckless abandon. We weren't nervous about losing. We were playing to win. Offensively, it was a whole nother story. They were like a well-oiled machine. I always felt sorry for those guys. We'd come off the practice field. You'd be smoking a cigar in your helmet because you'd grab it from Tim Priester, one of the beat reporters with Blue and Gold Illustrated.
Actually,
and those guys would be coming off the field like they'd seen a ghost because Lou ran the offense.
Listen, and not only that, because by the way, Coach Holtz only dealt with the offense. So we had 5 minute period. So every 5 minutes they'd honk the horn and you'd see the period would go from 15 to 16 or whatever it was. And I can remember we'd be done with practice. So Barry's looking at his practice sheet, you know, so they've got all the different times allocated for the different things they're going to do in practice that day. Well, you know, we would finish. So practice would be over and you'd hear Lou down there, turn it back 5 periods. And Barry would look around and he'd say, you guys can go in. And so the defense, we'd go in. We'd be done out of the shower. We'd be heading back to our rooms and the freaking offensive guys would be coming in. Do you remember that?
Oh man, there's so many great memories from back in the day. And you know, and that's what, you know, and that's what I want Marcus Freeman to do with his squad going forward is create a lot of great memories.
I think, look, Frank, you know, I mean, look, Frank and I were known to be, we were pranksters and we were having fun, you know,
we having a blast
on those teams that got booed out of the stadium at Notre Dame that lost 3 straight games. And we had something special and we knew it as the season went on. And I think Barry Alvarez's personality was a gift sent from God. It was a perfect fit. And, you know, he let us be ourselves, and he thought it was funny, and he wanted to keep it light. And
right.
He knew that was the key to winning these games, that we had a lot of talent, but we could be too. But I also know, you know, he would call me into his office, or well, I would be in his office because I didn't have a lot of classes my fifth year, and I would go down and watch a bunch of film with him, and he would be like, listen, Pritch, I want, you know, you and Frank – You got to get the kids. Let's focus today. This is a big game today. We don't need to be goofing around. And then, of course, we would do that. And I think the younger kids, I know the younger kids, were watching.
Boy, were they.
And when we were serious,
they were counting on our leadership.
What's that?
I said, boy, they were desperate when they were counting on leadership.
Yeah,
I say that tongue in cheek because, you know, nobody played any harder than you and I in that, especially you. Dude, I remember the national championship game. I was like, I don't know what what possessed you, but it was just insane the way that you were flying around and just pressuring the quarterback. And I think I told you during that one, during the game, I said, dude, you got to calm down and you're going to hurt somebody. And it's probably going to be me, because it was just, talk about a scud missile. I mean, just did not want to get in your way that game. And that's the kind of effort that these guys need to show going forward. It is all about the effort. But listen, break down again, what you see, maybe by position in today's game, and then give your pick on the game right now. It's they got it, I think, Notre Dame 3.5 favorite. The total on this is 50. Break it down one more time and then give your pick on the game. And then we can move on to the other two. We can move on to the college football playoff games.
Well, I think, I reiterate sort of what we've, or summarize what we've talked about. It's just going to depend on, Notre Dame slowing down their offense. They don't want to play from behind. They've got to control the possession game. They've got to establish the run. I think confuse Rattler on defense. Get some pressure on him. And, hopefully Tyler Buchner, the game's not going to be fast for him since he hasn't played in a long time. I'd love to see him actually establish himself as a dual threat. He's a great runner. And I'd like to see Notre Dame try to throw the ball over the top and spread out the defense a little bit. And then I'm going to say, Irish by 3.
Okay.
And hoping for
like South Carolina to cover. So
I don't think I'd give points.
Yeah. So, I see this and Holtz and, always talked about this is, there were 7 cardinal sins always in a game, but he talked about honest and dishonest mistakes. I think Notre Dame's got to play poised today. And if they can play poised and keep the mistakes to a minimum, and I'm talking about the dishonest mistakes, like penalties, offsides, too many people on the field. That'll go a long way to them winning the game. The other thing that Holtz always talked about was, the turnovers. South Carolina's turned the ball over a ton. And they've actually had, I think, 5 punts blocked this year. Look for Notre Dame to come after them on special teams. And if Notre Dame can win, it is truly, in a game that's close like this, it's whoever makes the fewest mistakes usually wins. And that's what I'm talking about with the poise with Notre Dame. They got to maintain their poise, protect the ball, play in front of the sticks. Don't get themselves in 2nd and 15 and 3rd and 20. Control the pace of the game. Like you're saying, pressure the quarterback. They're going to have to play a little bit of man to pressure the quarterback. And if I think they do that, I like Notre Dame a lot. I like Notre Dame winning the game by 10. I see him winning the game, 30 to 20. I think they will rattle Rattler. South Carolina's run game is not strong, and I think Notre Dame will force him into the passing situation where they can really then now pressure the quarterback and limit Rattler's effectiveness. So that's how I see the game. Notre Dame Nation, you're listening to Under the Golden Dome with Wes Pritchett and Frank Stamps hosting today, minus a couple of our teammates, Todd Light, Tony Rice, Pat Terrell, couldn't make it today. But we're breaking down the football game, gave you our pick, breaking down the Gator Bowl 2022. And then, how do you see the playoff games going? We'll start with the Michigan TCU game.
It's hard for me. I think Michigan, Michigan's pretty good. I think Michigan learned a lot from last year being in the situation and kind of getting blown out. It seems like they've sort of revamped, with even better players. I know TCU are sort of the cardiac kids and they've won a lot of close games. I think Michigan's going to be much more physical than they are. And I think it's kind of like a game today. I think Michigan will control the clock. I think they got a pretty good defense. And, I hate to say it. I mean, but I just don't think TCU can beat Michigan. That's why they play the games. But
no,
I don't really know that. To be honest with you, I don't really know that much about TCU. But I have been impressed with what I've seen of Michigan play this year. So, I mean, that Ohio State game, if that team shows up, that was impressive. I mean, they've got – their defense is good. They throw the – they got a quarterback that's very mature. He knows what the hell he's doing. They execute well. Harbaugh seems to have found his rhythm mentally. They seem to be in a good spot. I don't know. What do you think?
You nailed it. That did a little homework on it, and you nailed it. Even though the teams are both scoring – averaging 40 points a game, Michigan's given up 12 points fewer per game. They're only giving up 13 points, and TCU's given up 25 a game. And, I'm not a big stat guy, but that's the only stat matters is points allowed. Michigan is playing better D. I think they are in a better conference, a stronger conference.
Yeah,
The way they finished the game finished the year against Ohio State was strong. And as you know, Ohio State's got a good team. To me, this game is going to be won in the first half by Michigan. TCU is not going to, as you mentioned, not going to be able to match the physicalness of Michigan, and Michigan will run away with it. See, TCU has been, again, sacked. They've given up 24 sacks on the season. And I think Michigan will get to their quarterback. You mentioned Michigan's quarterback, McCarthy. How about this touchdown interception ratio, 20-3.
Wow.
Completing the ball at 65%. They've got a running back that, it's 1,500 yards. And, they're committed to the run. They're running is they're 2-1 run versus pass. So that's going to be Harbaugh's MO today, and I think he'll control the game. And I love Michigan.
I think TCU's outmatched in that game. Yeah. I do. I think Michigan rolls in that game personally. Yeah. And then let's go to the Georgia game. I mean, the Georgia game's interesting. Everybody. It's easy for me to say the dogs are going to roll, and they might. The one Achilles, Georgia has a great defense, and, they know how to win. They believe in themselves. They're on a hell of a roll. Kirby will have them ready to play. But, the one thing that Georgia's been susceptible on is passing. Mobile quarterbacks can throw the ball, which I guess everybody's susceptible to. But, I think Ohio State has enough weapons to make that game interesting, I think. I think that's going to be a pretty good game. Georgia wins in a close one. I don't think it's going to blow them out. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's a weird game. They've got the odds makers got this game, Georgia 6.5. And, based on Georgia's experience, defending national champions, you think that number would be a lot bigger, but it's just something weird about this. And Stroud's numbers are better than Bennett's numbers. Ohio State does have the talent. I mean, they're scoring more points than Georgia per game, giving up a few more, 19 points per game versus Georgia's 12. But it all comes down to me is the play of Stroud for Ohio State's quarterback. I don't think Ohio State's going to be able to run the ball against Georgia.
No.
That is something. But if Stroud is on with that core receivers that he has, then, they can score some points and challenge Georgia. I like Georgia winning the game, but I don't like them. I like the 6.5 points State getting.
I agree with that. I think that's going to be a good game. And then if Michigan and Georgia play, that's going to be a good – I think that's those would be the best two teams playing each other. I don't know. I still give the edge, unfortunately, to the dogs because I live in Atlanta. But that'll be a heck of a football game. I think those teams are very similar.
Right. Now, we see it the same
way. Very,
Well, Wes, thanks for taking the time on your way to the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. 75 degrees down here.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, bring home a victory. We'll talk again next week under the Golden Dome podcast. Frank Stamps, Wes Pritchett signing off. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.